there's a slight lack of control. If there isn't, perhaps the artist is not connected.
The reason they say loss is so valuable because it wakes us up to the point that everything changes.
When you take care of yourself, whether that's nutrition, getting mm-hmm. enough sleep, that it's a way of expressing enthusiasm for your life.
This is In the Balance.
It took me 3 tries before I landed the role of Christine, because even though I was showing up, I was still letting fear sort of run the show. I had to really be honest with myself about where fear was causing me to overperform, to try too hard, or to shrink and hide and play small. And I think that our fears often do that. For me, it wasn't until I finally let go of my intense struggle to prove myself and to be perfect. That's when I was finally successful.
Think of me, please say you think of me. Whatever else you choose to do, there will never be a day when I won't think of you.
Hi, everyone. This is Susan Lambert, and welcome to my conversation with Sandra Joseph. Sandra Joseph played the role of Christine in Phantom of the Opera for 10 years on Broadway. She is the longest-running leading lady in Broadway history. Now, after she had what we would all see as an enormous success, she left the show and she pretty much left the business. Her work moved from being a performing artist to writing, to speaking, and to helping others. I'm going to tell you a bit about her background. Sandra began always wanting to be in this creative world, this place where intuitively she felt, this is my calling. This is where I feel my heart is alive and my talents are on fire. She also knew from a very young age, actually, that there was something about the combined experience of spiritual sensitivity and later deep spiritual work, creative surges and instincts and feelings and personal growth that all came together. And what she describes is that exquisite experience of having a calling and longing and desiring to do what we do, and then realizing that there's kind of like a battle that we're in, where we're kind of in the wanting and always somehow fighting with or working with or struggling with our fears, our concerns, our self-doubts, everything that's all human. And Sandra talks about it in such an accessible way, and she wrote a best-selling book called Unmasking What Matters, which is, in my view, a masterpiece. And I say that not to just be complimentary of my friend Sandra Joseph, but Unmasking What Matters is a book that's full of authentic storytelling infused with the wisdom that she's gathered from her own deep study and research in the spiritual world and the personal growth process. And she synthesizes all this in a book that, in my view, if you carry this book around with you, you've got everything you need. Whether you're a singer or a sales executive or a landscape artist or a stay-at-home mom, it doesn't matter. Sandra Joseph's message is universal, which is, find out who you are, go inward, and find a way to use a practice of loving kindness towards yourself and outwards towards the world. And you will open up many, many windows and many, many doors for the freshness and clarity and freedom of knowing that you belong in this world. So please join me and listen in on this conversation with the extraordinary Sandra Joseph. Hey everyone, it's Susan Lambert, and I'm here today talking with Sandra Joseph, who is an actress, singer, teacher, and a keynote speaker. She played, as you know from the intro, the role of Christine in Phantom of the Opera for 10 years on Broadway, the longest life as a leading lady in a hit musical in history, right, Sandra?
Yes.
Yeah. So welcome, and thank you so much for coming onto the show, especially during this challenging time for all of us.
Oh, thank you for having me, Susan. I'm really looking forward to this.
I'd love to hear about your childhood, your adolescence. Like, what was that dream and how is it revealing itself to you?
Well, thank you for asking that. You know, I've been thinking about that very question lately and broadening what it was that I was really seeking from that early age. I was always drawn to the performing arts. I loved music. I loved musicals. I watched all the movie musicals growing up. And simultaneously, right alongside that, I was always very curious about the bigger questions. From as far back as I can remember, I recall wondering, what is it that we're all doing here? Why are we here? How did we get here? Where are we going? I remember really having some deep intuitive sense that there's more going on that meets the eye, and some inkling of the eternal, that there's something timeless that we can all tap into. Ever since I was a young girl on this a really parallel trajectory of pursuing creativity in the arts and performing and pursuing a spiritual life and personal growth and trying to just figure out how can we make the most of this experience and what we're doing here.
Did you ever have a moment when you, I don't know, when you felt that kind of more profound resonance, either on stage or, I don't know, in a rehearsal or, you know, where you felt that kind of connection between the spiritual? Yeah. When was that?
It was a moment when I was rehearsing for, I think it was Annie. My first leading role was Annie in high school.
Aww.
And I remember having a moment of walking out on the stage after rehearsal was over. It was nighttime. No one was in the theater. It was dark. And there's something about a darkened theater. I'm sure you know this feeling where you're standing there looking out at all the empty seats and you can sort of see the exit signs in the distance. And I remember having a sense that, first of all, I want to be a part of this world, whether all I do in the theater is sweep the floors or tear ticket stubs for people. I want this to be a part of my life. I love it so dearly. And I remember, again, having sort of that sense of timelessness where time stands still, or what I think of it really is as being dropped into the eternal now.
How much love can a heart hold? A drop, a cup. How much love can a heart hold before it fills and overflows? Who knows how much it takes?
I had a sense of all of the emotion that's been expressed in the theater. The people who have sat in those seats over the years, long before I was there, long after I will be gone, just this connection through time that had to do with creativity, it had to do with expressing emotion. And I think, you know, we are all creative souls. There's something within us that wants to be expressed, whether it's through the arts or through raising children or through whatever our particular form of expression is. And we're also all creating our own lives, creating ourselves in every moment. And there was some sort of coming together of all of those things for me in that moment.
That's a really eloquent description of one of those deep moments that we read about, you know, in great literature or that we see in great films. You know, it's that deep moment of resonance. So let's jump forward to you end up playing Christine in Phantom of the Opera for many years on Broadway. And I'd love to hear you talk about that process.
Yeah. Well, you know, when we have those download moments or those eternal instants where we suddenly feel this deep longing to do something, very often, right on the heels of that comes the feeling that we're ill-equipped to do it. That, well, who do I think I am? Or the voices of fear and self-doubt, or I could never, whatever your particular I could never is. And so the battle was on for me from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the battle that so many of us face throughout our lives, is wanting to do something, feeling a deep sense of purpose in doing something. And then begins the journey of moving through our fear and self-doubt and our inner critic. So getting from not being able to sing in front of people to starring on Broadway as Christine in Phantom, that was quite a journey. And the essence of it boils down to continuing to say yes to love instead of fear, and committing to myself that I would not let those voices of self-doubt and crippling stage fright stop me from going after the thing I really wanted to do. And it, my own insecurities and lack of self-confidence, it really did almost stop me from ever moving to New York, from ever succeeding at getting through the audition process. It took me 3 tries before I landed the role of Christine, because even though I was showing up, I was still letting fear sort of run the show. And those are the deeper, subtler layers of looking at how we're showing up that I think can get in the way for many of us. I had to really be honest with myself about where fear was causing me to overperform, to try too hard, or to shrink and hide and play small. And I think that our fears often do that, and they might show up differently for different people. But for me, it wasn't until I finally let go of my intense struggle to prove myself and to be perfect. And when I was able to drop into my authentic presence and my authentic voice, that's when I was finally successful.
Got a call from my agent. He said they still haven't found a Christine replacement and they want to bring you in and give you one more chance. 3rd audition. On the stage of the Majestic Theater, underneath the big chandelier, Hal Prince and the supervisors sitting 5 rows back. I was still afraid, of course. I was still nervous. But I had surrendered it. And I said, God, just let me be present. Just let me bring who I am to this role and sing from my heart. And that's when I got the role.
How did you get there? I know it was a deep, involved process, but I think that hearing the specifics of somebody's story, how you arrived at that place of being able to know this is who I am.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a really long process, but I have thought so much about it because, as I said, I've been on this parallel track of personal growth and spiritual development and trying to figure out what are these voices of not never enough, never good enough, even after I was successful, because those voices did not go away, Susan, of course. They get louder in some ways when we suddenly get the thing that we always thought would solve all of our problems. Then you go, oh, wait a minute. It's really true that wherever you go, there you are. And now my insecurities just morphed into imposter syndrome. And there's always a way in which we can find how we're not measuring up, how we're not still not quite there. So my work ever since leaving Phantom has been about really breaking it down to say, okay, what did I do that worked? What was helpful? And how can I share that in a way that's really easy to apply for other people? And I've done that in a couple of different ways. I did an audio learning program that I co-authored with Carolyn Mace called Your Creative Soul, Expressing Your Authentic Voice, and in Unmasking What Matters. And if you'd like, I can share sort of one of the frameworks that I use to help make this really tangible and practical for people, ways that you can drop into an authentic sense of enough, of confidence and presence, so that you can bring that into whatever it is that you're going through right now, whether it's pursuing a goal or a dream, or just trying to get through the day and deal with the anxieties and pressures and overwhelm that so many of us are facing right now.
Yes, please, please share with us.
So the way that I find it to be easiest to remember this is I came up with an acronym that is REST IN NOW. So that's the acronym. And there's a mnemonic device that I use too, where you can sort of look at your hand. If you just hold up your hand right now and look at it and imagine the letters R-E-S-T-I going across your thumb and fingers, and then the N right in the palm of your hand. So R-E-S-T-I-N, standing for rest in now. And there are ways, there's sort of doorways we can walk through to bring us into presence. So the R stands for relationships. One of the resources and refuges that we can turn to is the people in our lives who love us. So if you think about just somebody who cares about your well-being, that alone can be a source of strength and encouragement. And you can even imagine figures throughout history or spiritual figures, whoever brings a sense of comfort and care. I like to visualize them standing in a circle around me, especially when I'm walking into a high-stakes situation or if I'm feeling a lot of anxiety. Even honestly, Susan, I was doing this the other night when I was just experiencing the sadness around the loss that is happening in the world right now. So many people suffering, struggling, and my head was on the pillow and I was having trouble sleeping. And because I'm worried, you know, I'm concerned and I feel such helplessness. There's very little we can do except stay home right now during coronavirus.
Yeah.
When we're recording this. So I imagined my sort of circle of support around me, and different people show up at different times. The Dalai Lama's there sometimes. Poets show up. People in my life, my father, my late father who passed many years ago, but he was a source of strength and comfort. So just picturing people around you who support and love you, that's incredibly empowering. The E is for emotions. Simply turning toward what we're genuinely feeling instead of trying to avoid it or run away from it. And just recently, I found myself falling into this trap that's so easy for us to do, where we're going about our day, we're answering emails or whatever, but there's some sense in the background of upset that we're trying to push away. And I was at a time when I could step away. I wasn't on a deadline. And I said, all right, I need to take a moment here and investigate this. And I just closed the computer, put one hand on my solar plexus, which is where I tend to feel my emotions most intensely, and one hand on my heart. And I said, okay, what is this about? What's going on? And I recognized, oh, it's because I watched an old video of myself singing from long ago. And I was really critical, not only of the singing, but more so of just the person that I was back then. And I was finding all these judgments about how I was showing up. Those old nagging voices of criticism, and I had to bring in a kinder, softer voice and say, okay, it's okay what I'm feeling. I'm going to allow myself to feel it, whatever it is that we're going through. Maybe tears will come, but to give it some attention instead of pushing it to the background. And once I've given it room to breathe and to be there, then it softens on its own. But avoiding it can cause more pain. So, you know, the old phrase, what you resist persists. So bringing attention to our emotional experience. And that leads me to the S, which is sensations, or sensing into your soma, to your body. Where am I feeling what I'm feeling in my body? And of all the practices, Susan, the one that I think is the bullseye is getting out of our heads and into our bodies. This practice, and there's emerging research now about this fancy word interoception, which
basically— Yes, please. Yeah, let's talk about that. That's a big one.
Yeah, it's so big. And I'm just scratching the surface of what it all means and understanding the neuroscience behind something profound happens in the brain that rewires us in really helpful ways when we sense into our, so interoception, think of as interior perception, really perceiving the inner space of your body. And you can do it right now, you know, as we're sitting here talking, you can feel into the aliveness within your body. And this is something, there's emerging neuroscience and research about this, but this is something Eckhart Tolle has been talking about for decades.
For a long time, yeah.
If you've read The Power of Now, one of the simplest doorways to presence that Eckhart Tolle has talked about is just begin by feeling the aliveness inside of your hands. And I used to think of that as like, okay, what is this doing for me? I'm like, all right, I feel there's like a maybe a little buzz in my hands, or I don't really get it, and then I move on. But the more I practice with bringing my awareness into the interior space of my full body, okay, feel inside of your legs, and Dan Siegel, I'm sure you're familiar with Dan Siegel's work.
Yes, yes.
He talks a lot about this as well. And Rick Hansen, I've heard so many incredible brain science experts, neuroscience psychologists talk about the power of sensing into your body. Total body awareness, if you can feel your body as a holistic presence, I can't explain to you why it works. All I know is the more I do it, the more ease I find in my life. And I practice it at night before I go to sleep. I will think about, when my head hits the pillow, think about what were the best moments of my day and moments when I felt a sense of ease or beauty or presence or awe, wonder, and happiness, and try to really bring that down into a sensing somatic experience. Where did I feel that in my body? Can I imagine that feeling of all is well moving through my cells all the way through my body, as if my cells are communicating to one another, saying all is well, really soaking up the happiness? It's incredibly nourishing and helpful for building inner resources. So the S, I would circle that one in the rest in now practice. So I'll move quickly through the others. T is thoughts. And, you know, as actors, we think a lot about our inner monologue of the character, what's going on behind the words. And we can do this with our thoughts to really look at, what am I saying to myself that is getting in the way of my ability to show up the way that I most want to in my life, to create what I most want to create in my life, and to be who I know myself to be on the deep interior? The more we can remove the mask and let our inner self meet the outer world, the more we free ourselves. And I think the more we become who we're really here to be, which is more and more loving, more and more present. We're all human and we all make mistakes and fail and fall down. I do it daily. But if I can train my brain to replace those less than helpful thoughts with a more positive inner monologue, then I'm setting myself up to be successful. The simple example I used in my Phantom auditions, I'm not here to be perfect. I'm here to be present. How can I be more present and more authentic in this moment? And then the I is intentions. So the big capital I of what is our intention? Ultimately, let's look at it in the biggest possible light. Well, I think it's our birthright for all of us to be the fullest, truest expression of who we really are. Because the great miracle of this whole gig, this whole life thing, is there is only one of you in all of time. And if you're not willing to fully express the gifts that you've been given and the heart that you have, then the world will lose that gift. The world will lose that expression and it will never exist again. So our intention, I think, is the collectively is to find ways to have the courage to move through what stops us from being all that we're here to be. Many people are familiar with the book written by Bronnie Ware, The Top Five Regrets of the Dying. She's a palliative care nurse who sat with hundreds of people who were at the end of life. And I reference her work in Unmasking What Matters in my book, because every single one of the five had to do with courage. And the number one regret that people had when they were facing the end of life was looking back and saying, I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life that others expected of me. So if our intention is to be the fullest expression of who we are, that is for the benefit of ourself and for all beings. And then the N is now, and that's simply, I like to picture that big old N right in the palm of my hand. So I just remember that everything I need is as close as the palm of my own hand. Everything I need is right here in the present moment, and to rest in that knowing.
It's a fantastic, I love this. You know, it's interesting, Sandra, I'm listening to you talk and you and I are in the same age category. And I, in my practice, I work with a lot of people in their 20s and 30s. And I'll tell you, and I know it won't be surprising to you because you're so generous with your own story. You know, I talk to a lot of women, men who are in their late 20s, early 30s, who feel they've lost themselves, who feel like, where is that person that I'm just going to say some of the things that I hear? Where is that girl that used to sing and love to be on the stage? And, or where is that person who had all that energy and that hope? And I, you know, I don't know who I am. I feel like I'm wasting my time in being lost, you know, that this is a crisis at any age, at any time, this crisis of feeling, how can I be true to myself when I'm, you know, that whole thing of, there's a wonderful phrase in one of your beautiful works, giving voice to our deepest truths. And I think that, you know, what you're speaking to is something that is a real profound struggle for a lot of people emerging into and going along their adult development. Mm-hmm. Who am I now? Or I've lost myself, or I don't know who I am. I feel something in me, but I don't know how to find it. I don't know how to give it expression.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, Susan, I feel that so deeply. And first of all, with just great compassion, you know, to have compassion for that part of ourselves that if we're all on this human journey and there's no textbook for it, there's nobody knows how to do any of this. And we're all figuring it out as we go. So let's meet ourselves with compassion for wherever we are and wherever life has brought us to at this point, mm-hmm. and recognize that's real, and you're not alone. And so many of us have been in that place. The other big truth, though, is you cannot lose yourself. You can perhaps go down a path you weren't expecting, but I love what the poet Hafiz says, that this place where you are right now, God circled on a map for you. Where you are right now is exactly where you needed to get to in order to become who you're here to be. And part of that is the recognition that, somewhere along the way, I veered off course and there's a disconnect. So just recognizing that and then taking direction from that inner voice that cannot be abandoned. It is you. It is there in you right now.
There were stars that just for me shone.
Can start, I think, in very small ways by simply allowing the questions. Let's allow for the questions. I remember when I knew in my heart that I was done with Broadway. It was a crisis for me. It's what I had loved all my life, what I had trained for all my life, and yet I just felt complete with that journey, and that continuing to do it would not be authentic for me anymore. And I had no idea what to do next. Where do I go from here? What do I do? This was before the idea of using my love for personal growth and spiritual development, all of that, as another career. That had never occurred to me at that time. And I was fortunate to go to a conference where I saw Martha Beck speak. Martha Beck is a beautiful author, and she's a renowned life coach. She writes a monthly column in O Magazine, Oprah's magazine, which she has since the beginning. And I went up to Martha at the end of her talk, and I said, you know, I've had this career, and now I'm feeling really lost, and I have no idea what to do next. And she said, yes, you do. You know. And then I wound up working with her so that she could bring out of me what it was that was already there. But she said from the stage, she said, you know, I didn't go into life thinking I'm going to be a life coach, but she said, this is how my business works. People come up to me and they say, I have no idea what to do. And I look at them and say, yes, you do. Then they start to cry. And then they give me money.
I want her job.
That is exactly the truth, though. We just sometimes I think we need someone to look into our eyes and say, you do know what you want to do. And I did. It was there. I think I was just afraid to look at it. And I think that's the case for so many of us. We're afraid to look at it.
Yeah, that's so true. And what I love about, and by the way, guys, this is Susan Lambert, and I'm speaking with Sandra Joseph. We're talking about being true to ourselves. And I'm listening to you speak, and I'm thinking back to when I was a kid growing up in the summers on Cape Cod, where I now, you know, have a home that I spend most of my time in, and my mom making me go to swimming lessons, you know, and they make you go to the pond at like 8 a.m. in the morning, and it's kind of windy and no one's there and the water's cold, and they sort of make you go in the water. And at one point, I don't know, maybe I was 7 or 8 years old, you know, they have you like diving off the dock. And there's this moment of unbelievable terror, you know, because you're looking at the water and it's kind of dark. You know, it's the same pond that you've been swimming in all the other days, the rest of the day. But that moment of diving in to that water, you're just a split second maybe in the air, and there's a terror, right? And it's, and I'm thinking about that now, because along the way, you were able to have enough consciousness and I about learning, and then brought that curiosity and that voraciousness for learning to a new career in helping others.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is my passion, this learning and sharing what I've learned that has helped and has worked really to I was passionate about it in the beginning just to ease my own suffering and to deal with my own insecurities and pain. And I've been in therapy for decades and dealt with my childhood stuff. And I've read hundreds, if not thousands, of books and taken seminars and workshops. And this has really been my passion. And now it just feels like it's just a joy to be able to share and say, okay, guys, here's what I've discovered that has been really effective. And what worked for me may not work for everyone, but we can all find what's helpful to us to support ourselves along the way and support each other.
Yeah, that's right. And I also have to say that what I appreciate very much, something that I'm noticing, and I'm wondering, listeners, if you're noticing this as well, I feel that your teachings and your sharing is such a pro-action of love. It's love in action. You know, you're not only just talking about I'm wanting to learn to accept and love myself and accept and love others. I feel like you have found a path and a way inside yourself and your energy and your dynamic and your intention to lead and teach through and with love. And I think that's very powerful for us.
Well, that made me cry.
Well,
so thank you for that reflection.
Yeah, I do though. And how interesting, Sandra, that you and I have met each other the last few months and that we've ended up doing our episode in the midst of very, very dark times for the world. And yet we are proving to show ourselves as a global community that wants to join and that wants to join hands and that wants to reach out, that wants to give to each other, and that it's right now that you and I are talking here and giving the gift of these loving teachings that you have to offer to anyone who's listening in maybe the hardest time that they have met in their lifetime.
Yes, yes. And I do, you know, you mentioned loving kindness, and I do feel that even in the midst of some of us who are not on the front lines and we're feeling helpless, it feels like there's nothing we can do to solve this gigantic problem in our small little individual lives, but we can offer loving kindness and we can send out energetically wishes that all beings be safe and be healthy and be well. When we're dealing in our little micro ways with our own stuff, and we are doing the inner work to be more loving toward ourselves and others, even if it's, you know, the patience required for parents right now to be home with their children and some homeschooling, and when you have the presence of mind to say, I'm going to make a different choice, I'm not going to snap at my kid right now, that is an act of love that I believe is rippling out and is helping. In all of our small ways, our small acts of not criticizing ourselves, becoming more loving, think about if you're met with warmth, with compassion from even in a passing interaction with someone, that has an effect. And that, I think, is a way in which we can contribute without feeling like we have to be perfect, but to become more whole and more loving and more kind in our everyday lives.
Sandra, thank you so much for that. And I'm so grateful that you joined us today. This is Susan Lambert again on In the Balance, and we've been having a wonderful conversation with Sandra Joseph, and her masterful book, Unmasking What Matters. I would run out to get it, as well as her audio book, Your Creative Soul, which she does with Carolyn Meese. I send you off today with gratitude and to be safe and well.
Oh, Susan, thank you for the opportunity to speak with all of your listeners. And on a personal note, I just want to say how much I appreciate all that you're doing in the world and through this podcast and through your work with clients and just the loving heart and presence that you bring to everything that you do. It's really been a privilege to be here with you today.
Oh, thank you, my friend.
Hey everybody, it's Walker Vreeland. I'm the senior producer of In the Balance. It's hosted by Susan Lambert, and our associate producer and director of online media is Taryn Kennedy. Music and lyrics in today's episode provided by Adam Gettle, Ricky Ian Gordon, Andrew Lloyd Webber, Richard Stilgo, Charles Hart, and Alan J. Lerner. You can find out more information on our website, inthebalance.life. You can also subscribe to the podcast wherever podcasts are found. And if you have a moment, please rate us and review us on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or Spotify, wherever you listen to the podcast. It would mean so much, and it will help other people find us. Hope you're staying safe and sound, and thank you so much for listening.